Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's great to be here with you once again celebrating Christmas and just be reminded of what it all means. And hopefully we do that here in just a brief message I have to share this morning. We're going to talk about the Christmas tree. Christmas trees come in all shapes and sizes. We've had some really big ones. If you look up on the ceiling, you can see we've had some really big ones that actually hit the top of the ceiling. Do you remember that year, Oscar? Do you remember that year? Yeah. I remember that year. That was an Art LeBon year. I was with Art when we put that one in. And we have a beautiful tree this year. Some trees are fake, some trees are real. But do you know the origins of the Christmas tree? Maybe some of you do know that. Do you know who inaugurated the first Christmas tree? Yeah. Well, hold on a second. We'll get there. I know that I shared that in my pastor's notes this week, but here's the story to lead us into it. An agile German was walking the countryside, and snow was on the ground. It was Christmas Eve. It was 500 years ago. And as he was walking the countryside there, he looked up into the sky, the legends told, and he saw a sparkling light that was a star, and that's what gave him an idea. He looked around and saw a small fir tree, not too tall, but it had snow on it, on its branches, and the snow glistened, and that's when he got the idea. With his axe, he cut down that tree, and he took it back to the Black Cloister. That's where he lived in Wittenberg. When he brought that tree back, his kids were kind of surprised that he was dragging a tree into their home. That was kind of surprising. But his wife, Katie, was especially surprised in that he placed the tree in the common area where people gathered during, traditionally in this time, the parlor in the home. So everyone could gather around that Christmas tree. Then this guy's pretty crazy. This guy then began to kind of move around the house, trying to go into cabinets and drawers, trying to find any kind of candles that he could find. He placed the candles on the tree, on the branches. I don't think there were fire marshals 500 years ago. I don't think that would pass. Not a great idea. Don't copy that idea, by the way. And the wax kind of was an adhesive and kept the candles tied to the branch. That's the inauguration of the Christmas tree. Isn't that wild? And someone got it right. Do you know who did? The legend is that was Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer. Lutherans, that's who we're kind of named after. Why did Luther do that? Here's why. This is how down-to-earth Martin Luther was. He wanted a simple way to explain Christmas to his children. That's it. Luther, up to this point, had translated the entire Bible into the German, which is an unrivaled feat in the 14th, 15th, 16th century. That German still used and has basically developed the whole language of German. Luther had debated on all sorts of topics with some of the most esteemed academics like Erasmus and others in Europe. He was in correspondence with really important people like Henry VIII and the Pope and the electors who decided who would be the emperor of the land. But what was important to Martin Luther was being able to explain Christmas in an easy way to his children. That's how down to earth Luther was. Dear friends, I actually think John, the gospel writer, the one that we uplifted here in our gospel reading, was doing the same thing. In the beginning of his gospel writing, John doesn't give any detail about Mary and Joseph and shepherds and angels. That's what we're used to. That's what we talked about last night. I think what John was doing, with, of course, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was putting together 18 verses, words that could explain what Christmas meant to him personally. It's called the prologue of John's gospel. And what it is just simply his heart speaking with, again, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what Jesus means, that the Word is made flesh. By the way, that word flesh, sarx in the Greek, was very, no one had thought of that. That was a wild thought, that in the flesh, God could dwell with man. And that was the way that John was expressing it. Now, here's the challenge for us as Christians. Can we explain Christmas in 5 or 7 sentences to our loved ones? Do we have an image that we could share and uplift to them that could help them know the significance of what Christmas is all about? The meaning and the something that's memorable, that can last. So as you think about that, I do want to highlight why Martin Luther talked about the Christmas tree as the perfect example of explaining Christmas. Luther, the legend says, pointed to the candles on the tree and then said this to the children. The candles were lit. He said this, "Dear children, Jesus Christ is the light of the world." John would agree. I don't know if you caught it. John chapter 1, verse 4, John says in the gospel, "In him," talking about Jesus, "in him was life, and the life was the light of men," or light of people, however you want to translate that. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Whenever you have light, then you have life. If you don't have light, you don't have life. Okay? How many of you can recall the ice storm last January? Yeah. Do you remember the importance of light in the middle of that ice storm? Goodness gracious. Kai, do you remember that moment? Where were we? Lincoln City, close. Yeah. We were in Lincoln City, and we thought we were going to miss the whole storm, so we decided to head out of town to go to the coast. What a great idea that was. We were about a block off the beach, and the storm hit, and we got 2 inches of ice right there, just a block away from the beach. It was one of the worst spots for this ice storm, and one of the doors was caked shut. I'll never forget it. We couldn't get out of the house. It was that bad. And of course, the electricity went out. It went out for multiple, it went out for at least a day or so. And what we learned was light is important for life. We lived by that fireplace. The 5 of us jumped into that king-size bed and we slept there. It was 45 degrees that night, and we just snuggled up in that bed. And I remember thinking to myself, when we got into bed, I could do this for a week. I think I'm good. 2 hours passed by, and then I thought, I think I could do this for another day. And then 2 more hours passed, and I thought, I can't do this another 2 hours.